Welcome and thank you for joining us for today's IBM teleconference, Proactive Problem Determination and Automation for IBM System Z, TCP, and IP Networks. Today's teleconference will last approximately 60 minutes and include a question and answer session. In this teleconference, you will learn how to better manage and optimize your valuable mainframe network throughout and technologies with IBM Tivoli System Z Network Management Solutions and achieve the highest degree of mainframe network performance. The speakers for today's presentation are Ovi Sprotson, Advisory Software Engineer and Developer for Omega Mon XC for Mainframe Networks Team, IBM Software Group, and Jeff Weiner, Senior Software Engineer and Developer, Tivoli NetView for ZOS IBM Software Group. At this time, I would like to hand it over to our first speaker, Jeff Weiner.
Thank you very much, Andrea. First of all, I would just like to say that you all hopefully have had an opportunity to download the presentation. We will be going through the presentation just from an oral point of view. We won't be working the actual slides, so we hope that you will have that on your computer and have an opportunity to do that yourself. So we hope that you're now on slide one, and it says the title page, Mainframe TCP/IP Examples of Proactive Problem Determination and Automation, which is slightly different than the title that was advertised, but it basically says the same thing, so that's okay. As a matter of just continuing our introductions, Ovi's and I have agreed to share our email addresses with you. That, unfortunately, did not make it onto the slide, so I'll just say them. Some of you may have our email addresses anyway. I'll first say mine and then give Ovi's an opportunity to say hers, but mine is weinerje@us.ibm.com, and that would be spelled weinerje@us.ibm.com. And I would say that one of the things that we'll do together as we go through this presentation, it might become apparent that my expertise is more in the NetView product area. So if you have questions that are leaning more toward NetView, you would email me. And Ovi's is an expert on the Omega Mon for Mainframe Networks product, and so that would be her. And I'll let her say her email address.
Hi, yes. My email address is Ovi's, O, V as in Victor, I-E-S, as in Sally, at us.ibm.com. Okay.
I'm going to go ahead to the next slide. And we have some disclaimers here, and I think this is just basically about, we're not talking about any unannounced products in here. We're mostly talking about the current versions in the field of the Omega Mon XC for Mainframe Networks product. And we'll probably shorten that up as the presentation goes on and just call that product MFN, but that's what it is. And NetView for ZOS is, so our latest field versions for NetView are 5.4. And for MFN would be
4.20 interim features 1 or 6.1.
Okay, thanks, Ovi's. So the disclaimer basically says that the slides that you see might not exactly match up with the screens that you'll see, and that's really all I think this is about as it pertains to this presentation. And we certainly want to offer some thanks to Ernie Gilman, who some of you have worked with. He's a field specialist for IBM, knows a lot about NetView and MFN products, and authored a lot of the slides that we've stolen here. So thank you to Ernie. The next slide, we're on slide three now, says the agenda. And these are kind of the topics or scenarios that we're going to go through today. And let me say a little bit before we dive into these particular scenarios that we're trying to do a couple of things with this presentation. And one is to talk about the particular problem determination scenarios that have to do with these areas of IP management. You know, for example, EE and OSA management, TCP connection management, and TN3270. But in addition to that, we're trying to talk about the ITM structure and the TEP kind of as a common platform for problem solving. NetView has several user interfaces, the TEP being one of them. In terms of mainframe networks, the TEP is really their only user interface. So the ways that these products work together, of course, they work very well separately, but they add even more when they're doing things together. There's a synergy between the two products, and that synergy is going to be centered around the TEP as a user interface and ITM in general, just as a set of functions where we can share our workspaces, for example. Some of the other common themes that we'll be going through are the fact that both products supply a lot of situations out of the box, and we'll talk more about what situations are in general, and the customizations that you can do with these workspaces, and we'll have some examples of that. So we're trying to do scenarios, but we're also trying to introduce you to the TEP and the overall power of the ITM interface. So without any further introductions, let me go forward into our first scenario, which is about Enterprise Extender. So now I'm on slide 4. About Enterprise Extender, this is a technology which really allows a lot of SNA applications to, it's a form of SNA over IP. And what's particular about Enterprise Extender is that a way that it uses UDP to flow HPR information over particular connections that are called Enterprise Extender connections. So what you have is really three different layers at which problems can occur. And that's what makes EE, it's a very powerful and convenient, it's wonderful when it works, but when it doesn't work, you've got a couple of different layers of problem determination to go through. What this chart is really pointing out is if a user of a SNA application has a particular problem, for example, with their session, we have to figure out is the problem down at this level, or that level. So toward that end, I'll go on to slide 5, we're going to look at three different places at which the problem can occur. It can occur at the higher level, which is at the HPR level, and then we'll work our way down through the Enterprise Extender level and the UDP level. But we'll start drilling down through the HPR metrics, and this is an example of a workspace that ships out of the box in the MFN product, and I'll just do this one more time. OmegaMod XE for mainframe networks, and I'm going to call that MFN from now on. And they have an HPR workspace that shows a lot of metrics that deal with that particular level, the HPR connections workspace. And what we have here is an example of we're having some retransmit problems on HPR. It's a little bit of a made-up example, but this is one of the things that HPR manages is the retransmit of packets. So if we're having a lot of retransmits, that can be a problem for the session being slow. And problems that exist for a particular metric on a particular workspace, we will have a lot of out-of-the-box situations for those. So for this particular workspace, here we have written down on the left side a whole lot of the metrics that are being monitored by the MFN product as it pertains to HPR. So now I'm going to go on to the next screen, and we'll drill down to the EE connections. So the EE connections are down within the HPR space. There are particular connections underneath. HPR can be a whole array of different kinds of sessions and connections running over HPR connections. They're not all EE connections, so now we'll drill down to the EE. And one of the things we'll have here is a percentage of retransmits, and this is one of the situations that MFN ships out of the box, is that the percent of retransmissions is monitored by MFN, and if it goes too high for a particular EE connection, then you get a situation that's fired for that. So one of the common things that I wanted to return to about TEP in general is that operators can go in to the workspaces, and there's a lot of linkage between the workspaces where they can drill down from one workspace to another and go across to different workspaces, and we'll go through some of those kinds of scenarios. But you don't have to go through all the workspaces to see that there's an out-of-spec kind of a metric on a given workspace. That will be bubbled up. For example, if these retransmissions get bad for a particular EE connection, the operator will be notified without having to drive all the way down to this workspace. I'm going to go on to the next slide, which is slide 7, and say that the base UDP could be the issue. So it's not the SNA level at all, but rather the IP level underneath the SNA that's having problems. For example, UDP may have a high datagram rate or a high percentage of datagrams that are discarded, which is being illustrated in this particular slide. And again, we're listing a lot of different metrics here that can be looked at, and datagrams discarded is probably a more common one that would go wrong at the UDP level. Moving on to the next slide, what's being illustrated here is that, returning to our common themes, this is a workspace that's not shipped out of the box by either product, but which in fact is a combination of panes or panels from different workspaces. We've seen three of these already, the HPR, UDP, and let's see, is the EE one on here? It's not. Oh, there it is. The EE one is on here too. But it's actually being combined with a SNA session pane, which is actually shipped out of the NetView for ZOS product. So you can actually, as a user, and if you're not sure how to do this, just contact Ernie Gilman, and he will help you make customized views. So you can take the combinations of panes on the workspaces that we ship out of the box, or you can rearrange them to your heart's content. So in this case, we've combined three views from MFN with one from NetView about SNA sessions. Moving on to slide 9, this is just another one, and it illustrates that in addition to the other kinds of workspaces, you can open up a 3270 connection. For example, you can log on to NetView, NetView's 3270 interface. Just another variation on the same theme from the previous slide. One of the things you can do with NetView to diagnose SNA problems in general, and remember that EE is running SNA, even though it's running over IP, you can certainly do a lot of SNA analysis and problem determination in NetView. This is functionality that's existed in NetView for a long, long time, going back to the days when we only did 3270 support. So these are 3270 screens. Some of you are familiar with NetView's NLDM facility, which monitors SNA sessions and has been around for a long time. But since the last couple of releases, NLDM has gotten a couple of new wrinkles. We've always had this capability to have a SNA session list, and you can select a session out of the list to show its session configuration. One of the things that you can do now is if one of these sessions is flowing over an EE connection, you will see this CNR, for example, this CNR 004 here, which is an adjacent link station coming out of the VTAM componentry of a local comm server. That CNR is a notification that this is an HPR connection, which oftentimes indicates EE, as we've said. And what you can do now I want to see the sessions that are flowing over that particular EE connection or that particular adjacent link station. There's a command in NLDM to say, I want to see not only all the sessions that pertain to a particular SNA endpoint, but I also want to see the ones that are running over a particular EE connection. So that's the old news and the new news on slide 10. Moving on to slide 11, I just wanted to mention that NLDM has always had this capability of doing a PIU tracing. So you can trace the PIUs as they're coming. They've already come across the IP link, and they're being presented to the comm server as SNA PIUs. You can trace them You can trace packets down at the IP level through NetView, but you can also trace the PIUs that are related through NLDM in NetView. Moving on to slide 12, I think in NetView 5.3 we introduced this DIS command, which basically is we asked users how do you do your problem determination diagnosis for EE today, and they said, well, we do a whole bunch of different kinds of VTAM displays. So I don't want to go through a whole lot of detail because I'm about to run OVs out of time, I think. But there's a lot of different combinations of things going on in here. For example, you do a DIS on an endpoint LU that, for example, is having problems with its response time. And we might find that that LU is connected up with an adjacent link station, so we'll do a display on it. And moving forward to slide 13, I'm going to go through these next two or three slides very quickly. What we figured out is that we're running this SNA. This LU has SNA sessions. The SNA sessions are running over IP, so we're going to do a display on that. We're going to do a trace route on the IP addresses. We're going to figure out the states of the VTAM-generated PU type 2 that's involved, and finally we're going to do an EE diag at the end of all that to see what is the state in according to the VTAM componentry of COM server as to how that EE connection is going. So we combined all that into one display, so hopefully that would prevent users from having to bounce around and do that themselves, which is what we discovered that they were doing. So I'm up to to slide 16 now, and this is the last slide of this section, and I basically just wanted to summarize. Enterprise extender problems can be at multiple levels, and this is kind of an overview of all the different products and all the different, well, not all of them, but many of the different attributes and metrics that could have some indication of what the problems are for a particular session. You can see a lot of that information on OmegaMon on the MFN product, as you see on the lower left side of the screen, or on NetView that we've talked about. And you can even see, it might even be that the application on top of all that is what's having problems, and we have lots of indications of those kinds of problems from some of our other OmegaMon products. So at that point, I wanted to turn it over to the next session, and Ovi Sprafson is going to talk to us about OSA management.
Okay, hi. So I'm going to talk to you about OSA management, but as Jeff said, I'm also going to talk to you about a lot of the functionality of the IBM Tivoli monitoring services as I talk to you about OSA management. So I am on slide 18. So OSA Express is the strategic communications device for the mainframe. It is attached to the I/O cage on the mainframe, and it provides it supports many of the networking protocols that are available to you for transferring data from your mainframe out into the network. It has several channel types. The OSD type supports queued direct I/O, which provides very efficient data transfer. And when you're using the queued direct I/O features, you also get other features like IP assist and a network traffic analyzer. And to manage that, on slide 19, mainframe networks version 4.10 interim feature 2 or FixPack 2 added a lot of new workspaces that allow you to probe into what's going on with your OSA ports. So the things that are highlighted are all the new workspaces that were added to provide you information about your OSA, your basically your high data volume ports like OSA Express 2 10 gigabit and OSA Express 3. And when we added those new workspaces, we also added a new situation that tells you about missed packets. I'm going to tell you, I'm going to take a little sidestep here and talk to you now in more detail about situations. Jeff mentioned that we do provide a lot of views with metrics and highlighting so that someone can probe into a problem through those views. But the proactive piece of the platform really is situations. Situations are events. They describe a condition or set of conditions that we monitor. You define which attributes you want monitored, and we provide an interface that allows you to set thresholds. Like you can say, if the number of retransmits exceeds 1,000, then I want you to generate an event. So things like that. When an event is triggered, there are several indications. There are icons on the view on the tap that show up. And an action, if you define an action for that event, that action is executed. Also associated with each situation, there is expert advice that you can customize. We provide expert advice out of the box, but if you don't like what we have, you can customize it for your operators. And a key feature about situations or events is that they can be forwarded to your an event integration facility that you have that allows you to do centralized management. And some of the event integration facilities available are NetCool Omnibus Tech, and NetView. So the next slide, I'm on slide 21, shows some of this integration, gives you an idea of all the pieces and that you might have in your enterprise to manage problems. So at the bottom of the slide, you have the IT operational dashboard. That can be views on the tap, and that's where the monitors like Mainframe Networks and NetView send data for display. And so the monitors detect a problem based on a situation that's defined. The situation then would, when it triggers, would forward the event to your event management on the left side of the slide. It could be NetView, Omnibus, or Tech. And that shows some examples of what the events might look like. And your event management products have the ability to open trouble tickets and integrate with your service desk product. And once you open a trouble ticket, products like Tivoli Business Management can be used to look at the trouble tickets that have been opened and determine what the next steps are for resolving the problem, and you can also resolve the problem. So from TBSM, you could request that a network operator actually go back and look at the TEP and investigate the problem some more. So that kind of shows your cycle of problem determination for your enterprise and using the various Tivoli products, and how really at the heart of it is event management. The next slide shows you an example of what the Tivoli Enterprise portal would look like when an event fires. In the left corner of the diagram, you see the navigator tree and you see these little yellow triangles. That is the event indicator. and it tells you that an event has been triggered. When that happens, if you had an action associated with the event, that will be executed. Also, the event will be forwarded to your event integration facility. If you hover over those little icons, you get the thing in the middle of the slide, which shows you the name of the situation and a little chain link on the left. That is how you navigate between views on the TEP. If you click on that chain link, it takes you to a different workspace that shows you the details of a situation. So on the next slide, slide 23, is the situation workspace, and this is an example of a situation that has fired and the information that's available about it on the situation workspace. On the upper right corner of the diagram, you see the initial situation values and current situation values. So the initial situation values tell you what the values of the data that we monitor were at the time that the situation was triggered. And below that, you get the values of the attribute at the current time. And that allows you to determine whether there's anything still happening at the time that you go and decide to look at the situation details. So the person that's in charge of resolving the event could take a look at this and say, oh, okay, the problem's been resolved and nothing needs to happen. At that time, if they want to, they can click on the little situation icon that shows up on the navigator that I have the big arrow pointing to, shows you you can acknowledge the event. So the person that got assigned the event at that point determines, oh, everything's resolved, I'll acknowledge the event and can check off that item. And on the bottom right, you see an example of expert advice. In this case, this kind of refers us back to the OSA workspace. This event was that an OSA port was detecting CRC errors. So that's what the expert advice says here. This is not an out-of-the-box situation. This is a situation that I created for demonstration purposes. So this is just text that I typed in for this situation. Going to the next slide.
But we do have a lot out of the box, right?
Yes.
Expert advice and situation.
We do. We provide, for every situation that we provide out of the box, we have expert advice. So the next slide shows that one of the things that you could have decided you wanted to do was, when the situation was triggered, was you could have turned on OSA tracing in NetView. If you wanted to, that could have been the action associated with that situation. And on slide 24, we show an example of what the NetView IP Trace Control Center looks like. That's new in NetView 5.4. And if the tracing had been turned on by the situation, you could go to this screen and look at those traces. So now on slide 25, we're going to go back a little bit more to the OSA workspaces. Now that our OSA situation triggered, it says that we're experiencing CRC errors or cyclic redundancy errors. We might decide to go to our OSA workspaces and try to do some troubleshooting. So this is the highest level OSA workspace. It shows you your OSA channels and the graph at the top highlight your PCI bus utilization and processor utilization. And those are good statistics for capacity planning, but the problem we're trying to deal with is really having to do with CRC errors on a port. And if you remember back in the slide where the situation was triggered, the port that was identified was OE3THD0P. So we're going to go and look at more details about that port. And we would click on the little chain link to choose the OSA Express 3 ports workspace. We want to go navigate to that workspace and see more details about that port. So on slide 26, I show you the OSA ports workspace and the OSA port errors workspace for that port, and I highlight some of the key information that shows up on those workspaces. So there are current packets is the count of the total count of packets on that port, and current good packets are packets without errors. And when there's a difference in the count of good packets versus packets, then that's an indicator that you are experiencing errors with your packets. So that's something that you can look at in that workspace. Other things that you can look at, a key thing is if you're looking around the middle of the slide, the disabled status for the port tells you if the port is enabled or disabled. At the current time, it shows that the port is disabled to some sort of internal port failure. That's what the value of 1 in that field means. If you navigate to the port errors workspace, which you can do from the ports workspace, you can see on the slide to the right that on the view to the right that there's definitely CRC errors being experienced by that port, and it's highlighted in yellow for you when you navigate there. And also starting in version 4.2.0 interim feature 1, you can navigate from the OSA port workspace to the interfaces workspace on the TEP and see additional metrics related to the interface that is using that port. So going to slide 27, I'm going to tell you a little bit about some other features that you can take advantage of in IBM Tivoli monitoring. That feature is you can see a historical view of the OSA workspaces. So if CRC errors, a certain level of CRC errors can be okay for a short amount of time. And so you might want to see if this is some sort of repeating failure to determine whether it's a real problem or not. So if you go and look at a historical view of the workspace, you can start to see whether you're having high levels of CRC errors at a lot of points in time. Then you probably want to go check out that port. You may be getting to a hardware problem with your port. So a historical view of the port data may tell you that you probably need to go check out the hardware because you might be having a more permanent failure later on. The next slide on slide 28 is one of the other nice things with the historical viewing is that if you select the time span icon, which if you look at the bottom left corner of the slide, it shows you what that icon looks like. You can see it on the slide in the view there. If you select that icon, it'll pop up a little dialog, and on that dialog, you will see a little checkbox to lock the time span. If you do that, then when you navigate through the workspaces and you're viewing historical data, you will be viewing the same time span. So I could go from the OSA channel's historical view and look at the port summary historical view for the same time span if I'm trying to analyze the data, and that is a very nice feature of the TEP. Another thing I want to point out is that mainframe networks has the ability to save up to 24 hours of data. Actually, any of the OmegaMons has this ability. You can save up to 24 hours of data on vSAN data sets on your host. And we highly recommend you do that to help you with troubleshooting problems. And also, if you like, you can also have the data saved in a database called the warehouse. And you can use that for capacity planning in your enterprise. You save the data to your warehouse, and you can analyze it with report facilities and determine whether you need to add new OSA adapters based on the capacity that you're using. So on the next slide, back to the OSA. So this is another point of integration. If you have NetView and you wanted to figure out the effect of these CRC errors, the impact on other pieces of your network, you could go to the NetView NMC and see how that port relates to VLANs in your network and start seeing the bubble up effect of those CRC errors in your network. Next slide, I'm going to talk about another point of integration with NetView. As I said, events can be forwarded to your favorite event integration facility, and if NetView happens to be that event integration facility, mainframe networks in version 4.2.0, interim features 1, provided some sample situations that you can use to get started if you want to have OmegaMon XE for mainframe networks events forwarded to NetView. You can start with those sample situations, and they show up under, if you go to the situation editor, you will see them show up there as sample NetView, and there's two types. You can, there's a situation that can issue a NetView command, or there's a situation that can issue a message that you've got set up in your NetView automation table to then issue commands for you based on that message being issued. And so this slide 30 just shows some of the components. The action tab in the situation editor shows the example of issuing a NetView command. So I can say modify NetView proc name, and in this case I'm using this CAN3SITX to issue a command. And when you issue the command, you can use data from the situation and pass that along to NetView for automation purposes.
So is that one actually a sample that ships with MFN but installs on NetView?
Yeah, I will get to that. Yes, so I'm going back to slide 30. Yes, so we ship some samples. So there's a situation on the TEP that you can use to get you started with editing, and we also ship some samples with mainframe networks that you can then install into NetView to get that automation going. The next slide, slide 31, shows how you would set up on the TEP. This is the customization you would do on your TEP to have your events forwarded to NetView. So this is the screen. You would go into the situation. You would use the EIF tab, and you would say, I want this situation forwarded to NetView. So you don't have, it's not an all or nothing thing. If you have multiple event integration facilities and you only want a subset of your situations forwarded to NetView, you can do that. You can choose on a situation by situation basis. And this this slide gives you the highlights of what you need to fill in to do that. Now, on the NetView side, you have to have SSI running, and you have to have the event automation services running in order for NetView to be an event integration facility. And on slide 32, it shows an example of the situations being displayed on the NetView hardware monitor, if that's where you want to forward them. And on slide 33, it shows you an example of the details of the situation and how they would look on the NetView hardware monitor. Slide 34 gives you the names of the example of the samples that Omega Monarch Z for Mainframe Networks ships. And you can use those to, you can copy those to your NetView data sets and use those to do your situation, your forwarding and automation. And on slide 35 is an example of the events showing up in the network management console for NetView if that's where you'd rather see your events. On slide 36, one more feature that is a recent addition to the IBM Tivoli monitoring platform is what is referred to as dynamic thresholding. And it used to be that when you deployed a situation, the same formula had to apply to all systems that you deployed the situation to. And that is no longer the case. You can now customize a situation for a particular system. You can change the formula. Like if on one system a retransmission rate of 1,000 was okay, but on a different system you wanted a lower retransmission rate to be the threshold, you could do that. So it also lets you, based on analysis of historical data, set different thresholds for different systems. So the next slide shows you the TEP graphical user interface, what it would look like to override a formula. And so it shows you the original formula, and then you can provide values to override the original formula with. And on slide 38, it shows you you can also control the time when these situations are in effect, and you can customize it on a per-system basis. So retransmissions at lunchtime may be okay, but not, you know, early in the morning. So you may want events generated if you're having a lot of retransmissions early in the morning, but not at lunchtime. So that's what the gist of this is, and it shows you what the graphical user interface is for doing that. And you can get more information from the Tivoli Monitoring books on how to do this and more details. The slide 39 provides you information on a feature. I mentioned you can do analysis of your historical data. There are commands, ITM commands, that you can issue that will analyze your historical data and will suggest thresholds for you. And if you like those thresholds that ITM provides you, you can also have ITM install those thresholds for you. And those are the TA command, and you can get more information about that in the ITM information center. All right. So that was OSA management and a lot about events and event management. Now I'm going to talk a little bit about TCP connections and how Omega Monarch Z for Mainframe Networks and NetView integrate to give you information about TCP connections. So mainframe networks has several views for connections, but the main view is our connections workspace, and it identifies connections that have high data rates, high response times and retransmits, and response time variants. So when you look at high level of retransmits, is usually an indicator that there's some sort of problem in your network cloud. Also, another indicator of issues in your network cloud that could be affecting your TCP connections is response time variance. And those are highlighted in the graphs that you see in the workspace. If you would like to try and do some troubleshooting for a particular connection, you are interested in what's going on to a particular destination, you can now use, right-click on the connection summary table, and you get this menu that you see on the slide, and that allows you to issue drop commands or ping or traceroute or NSLookup. So you can do these commands and do some sort of troubleshooting. So let's say you are having a high level of retransmits or the response time variance was high for a particular connection, you might want to do a trace route to see what are the routers involved in the path to that destination for that connection. So on slide 42 is an example of the dialog that you would get if you selected the traceroute command. It pre-fills information such as the source and destination IP addresses from the row that was selected at the time that you clicked. And this is an example at the bottom. The command output is showing up there, so you can see the traceroute happening, and you can determine if there is some node that is exceptionally slow or some node that you're not getting responses from in the path to the destination. On slide 43, we also show, Jeff mentioned that we have links in the workspace. As I said, the little chain icons are how we navigate between workspaces. We can navigate from workspaces and mainframe networks to workspaces in NetView. And one of the things that was added recently in 4.2.0 6.1 of mainframe networks was links that link you to the NetView packet trace workspace. So if you would like to, if you are having a problem with a connection and you think you would like to see the packets in and out, you can select that connection and use the link to the NetView packet trace to start a packet trace for that connection. And it uses some of the new DWL2 Classic technology in ITM. The target workspace will show you a TN3270 emulator view, and the emulator launches a script that will log you on to NetView and start the packet trace. On slide 44, if you take the link, you'll be prompted to provide login information for NetView. It's pre-filled with information that you provided to mainframe networks using the configuration tool. But if you want to log into a different NetView, you can provide different information. And then once the packet trace is started, you end up at this view shown in slide 45. And from here, you can use NetView to view the packets that are being traced. And then on slide 46, we're going to change views. So that was from our connections workspaces. You could do that. Now, if you have an application, like a user calls and says they can't connect to CICS or DB2 or something like that, you can go to the mainframe network's TCP listeners workspace and see if those applications have a large backlog. One of the pieces of information that mainframe network shows you is the total number of backlog connections rejected. In the view that we show here, there are no backlog connections. The bottom left corner shows you your backlog TCP listeners, and right now there's no backlog TCP listeners. So you might want to check out, if you're using Sysplex Distributor, whether the Sysplex Distributor is load balancing connections as you expect. And from the TCP listener workspace and mainframe networks, you can link to the NetView DVIPA Sysplex Distributor's workspace and see if that is a problem causing connectivity to KIX or DB2. So on the next slide, slide 47, you can look at, that's what the NetView distributed VIPA Sysplex distributor workspace looks like. And you can look at the metrics shown there and see if you're having some sort of load distribution problem. On slide 48, I show a view of the NetView TCP connections data workspace. And you can, once you're in the NetView workspace, you can decide to navigate there and look at details for a particular TCP connection. And NetView also shows you retransmission rates for a connection, and it also shows you from this workspace you can navigate to the inactive TCP connection data, which I will show you on the next slide, or you can also navigate to the mainframe network's TCP connections workspace if you care to see data in mainframe networks. On slide 49, I'm showing you some of the details of the NetView TCP connection data. And some of the key data there is you have the connection state and congestion control information for the connection. You also have information if the connection is being used by Telnet. It provides you the Telnet information. And if the connection is using ATTLS, it provides you information about the security for that connection. And on slide 50, we show you the mainframe network's TCP connections link workspace, which in addition to the information that NetView can show you, it also shows you some additional statistics that you might be interested in, such as response time variance or window size information and out-of-segment statistics that are not available in NetView. And on slide 51, I show you this is what the NetView inactive TCP connection data workspace displays. And this workspace is very useful if you are trying to troubleshoot connectivity problems, because it shows you the termination reason code at the bottom of the screen. And it also, the termination information is also good for seeing if you're doing billing or capacity planning. because it shows you the connection start time and end time and how much data was transmitted for the connection. So this can be a really useful workspace depending on what you're trying to do. And that is it for TCP connection management. I'm going to turn it over to Jeff so he can talk about TN3270.
We really just wanted to close with one more example of the synergy between NetView and the MFN product. I'm going to page forward to slide 53. This is one that may have a little bit of automation, and I don't know if your version will have it or not, but just press it a couple of times until you see the whole picture. But in terms of TN3270 management, again, it's similar to what I was talking about before with Enterprise Extender, where it is a form of SNA over IP, and the problem determination can get you at both levels. The problem can be on the SNA side or on the IP side. So using the MFN product, the first thing that we can see is whether the response time for a given TN3270 server is you will normally get more of the response time down at the IP layer, but here you can see it's split out by MFN into the IP side versus the SNA side, and you can see if things are out of whack. And it works in terms of a sliding window over time, where this can change from one time to the next, and MFN will actually be taking samples over time to see if the situation with response time is changing. And I will go on to the next slide and say that there is an MFN TN3270 server session workspace which shows you the actual different ports on a particular TN3270 server. And the scenario here would be that, again, you can go back and forth between what MFN is saying about TN3270 servers and what NetView is saying. NetView's views are new for NetView 5.4. So the linkage between the two is that NetView out of the box links over to MFN. MFN's workspaces are older, so they don't automatically link over to NetView 5.4. But as Ovis was saying, you can dynamically establish that link without a lot of trouble. So here we have an example of a server that is experiencing a bad response time, and one of the things that you can do is you can, of course, you can have you can debug the situation right here in MFN. You may have a situation that fires, or you can link over to the NetView workspace and see that over there we have a particular metric that MFN doesn't show, which is about drop connections. So you can have a lot of drops, and over on the NetView side, you can see why those drops occur. You can get expert advice on the drop connections. So that's an example of going from the MFN to the NetView side. You may have seen that you may have drilled down to this on the NetView side, for example, and seen the drops to start with. So another way that this scenario could work is you could go over to the MFN side from here, and I'm actually going to go backwards one screen and slide 54. One of the things that MFN shows you is the log-on rates over time. So you might be what you might actually be seeing with the drops, and you'd see this with the MFN display, is that over time you're having a particular problem with a lot of log-ons at a particular time, and that is what's causing the drops as opposed to some other technical reason, something that's going wrong. We could just have that server being overwhelmed with log-ons, and MFN would show you that over time. And as Ovis was talking about with the historical views, you can then go back using MFN and see if you're having this same problem. For example, day after day at this time, you're having a lot of drops because there's a lot of log-ons on particular time, and that can get you into capacity planning. So, again, just one more example of linkage between the two products that are each showing you information on their own, but using the two products together, you get a lot of synergy. Slide 56 is just showing another summary of where you can get a lot of different information on 3270. We talked about some of these things along the bottom, but again, there's other OmegaMods and also other views in MFN that will show you that we might be experiencing storage problems in ComServer, or again, other OmegaMods giving you information about application performance problems. The rest of the presentation is really, Obis was going to go through defining DWL links depending on how much time there was. I think this was kind of optional, and I think we're over a little bit, so we're going to treat this last part about defining new DWL links as reference information. And I'm quickly going to just scroll through the rest of our slides, and there's other reference information here also, starting around page slide 61. I'm going to roll through this real quickly. Obviously, what we've done here is kind of a survey of some of the functionality of NetView and MFN and how they work together, but there's a whole lot more than that. So we have to leave you with a lot more reference information about where the books are, about where the respective product forums are, and now I'm up to slide 63. There's certainly training available on slide 64. And classes available on slide 65. Is this one up to date, Obis? You did a good job. There are web seminars available on slide 66 and 67, and there is a SystemZ Advisor, which is a monthly e-newsletter for IBM Systems. It's particular to IBM SystemZ, and you can subscribe to it. And, of course, our service organizations provide tech notes and tips as well. So that is it. I'm going to turn it back over to our moderator, Andrea. We're ready to do the polling and questions part.
Thank you. Now we would like to ask you to participate in a brief electronic survey. Right after the survey, we will have a Q&A session with the presenters. Your feedback is important to us, and we do appreciate the time you take to answer these questions. To participate, simply press the star key followed by the number that best corresponds to your choice. Please listen to all options before making your selection. Please evaluate your level of satisfaction with today's conference. If it was high, press star 1. If it was medium, press star 2. If it was low, press star 3. Again, if it was high, press star 1. If it was medium, press star 2. And if it was low, press star 3. Was the level of technical information presented in this conference? If it was at the right level, press star 1. If it was not technical enough, press star 2. If it was more technical than I needed to hear, press star 3. Again, if it was at the right level, press star 1. If it was not technical enough, press star 2. And if it was more technical than I needed to hear, press star 3. Do you use Enterprise Extender in your mainframe networks? If yes, to a significant extent, press star 1. If yes, to a small extent, press star 2. If no, press star 3. If don't know, press star 4. Again, if yes, to a significant extent, press star 1. If yes, to a small extent, press star 2. If no, press star 3. And if don't know, press star 4. Do you use TEP workspaces today for either NetView or OmegaMon for mainframe networks? If yes, to a significant extent, press star 1. If yes, to a small extent, or have near-term plans to move in that direction, press star 2. If no, press star 3. If don't know, press star 4. Again, if yes, to a significant extent, press star 1. If yes, to a small extent, or have near-term plans to move in that direction, press star 2. If no, press star 3. If don't know, press star 4. We hope you have enjoyed the teleconference today. Please let us know if you are interested in receiving additional information or follow-up regarding the products discussed today. If yes, press star 1. If no info is desired at this time, press star 2. And that concludes our survey. Thank you all for your participation. Now let's move to your questions. To ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad at this time. And we'll pause for a moment to assemble the queue. Again, ladies and gentlemen, that's star 1 if you'd like to ask a question.
Andrea, can you still hear us?
Yes, your line is still connected.
How will we get the feedback regarding the responses that were just solicited?
We'll provide that feedback for you after the call.
Thank you.
And again, ladies and gentlemen, if you'd like to ask a question for the presenters today or comment, please press star 1 at this time. And we'll take our first question from Keith Shackelford.
Hello. I noticed there were some new features on the TCP/IP connections. When you right button click it, the IP trace route. Is that in 4.20? Was that when that was introduced?
Yes, that was introduced in version 4.20 IF1.
Okay.
Well, actually, sorry, no. Version 4.20. I don't think you need any of the IFs. Sorry about that.
Well, yeah. Fine. I'm at 4.10, so we've ordered 4.20. I was just curious when we picked that up.
Yes, 4.20.
Okay. Thanks.
And wait, I'm trying to remember because I think we only shipped two of the commands in 4.20, and we added some in IF1. So to be certain, it would be IF1. Okay, 4.20 IF1.
Great.
The interface to NetView was in IF1 with respect to the packet tracing, right?
Right. Yeah, but he's asking about the command support.
Right. The sum of each.
Mm-hmm.
And then it just gives you a pop-up window, and that's where you'd see your results to the
yes.
command or query?
Yes. And there's also a command log now off of the agent node on the navigation tree. If you right-click that, there will be a command log. It's not the default workspace for that node, but you can select that as a workspace. And
okay.
The results of all of your commands are viewable from that workspace as well. So it will show you the commands that have been issued. And if you select one of those commands, and refresh, it'll show you the results for that specific command.
Okay. Great. Thanks.
Except for the NetView packet trace one, of course, which Ovis was saying brings you actually to the NetView product, and then when you go out of there, you come back to the MFN workspace you came from.
Okay. Yeah, we haven't got the NetView interface to the TEP yet.
That one, you don't have to have the NetView interface to the TEP.
Right.
Oh, okay.
Right.
It goes into the NetView 3270 scenario.
I see. You would still have to set up some linkage.
Yes.
Yeah. Great.
Again, ladies and gentlemen, if you'd like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad at this time. It appears we have no further questions at this time. If you have any other questions that come up, please feel free to email the presenters. This concludes today's conference, and we thank you for your participation.